What do you do when it seems like it's just one of those days and everything for you is out of sync? And how do you know that? Well, maybe it's because your spouse or a friend says to you, why are you so grumpy? Why is it you're so critical and full of blame, pointing the finger? Seems like you're so agitated, aggravated, or anxious. The tendency might be to say, I must have just gotten up on the wrong side of the bed. Oh, that's a nice, that's a sloppy excuse. Just got up on the wrong side of the bed. Yeah, but my bed's up against the wall. I only had one choice. So move it to a different wall, I suppose. But you know, we all need to take care of our thinkers. A few weeks ago, before I started this series, and this is the fourth message in this series, I told Pastor Dennis, I said, I've been thinking about thinking. Thinking about thinking. You know, the thought process does require some serious, serious thoughtfulness. And I'm talking about not purely an intellectual process. We could talk about if we were doing that, we could talk about the weight of the average adult brain, the weight of a teenager's brain. We could talk about all the billions of interactions that are going on inside of this amazing computer that was made to last 60, 70, 80, 90 years. In most cases, just operating, just moving all sorts of data. But, you know, it's more than just the data that's being moved as we think about thinking. It's far more than that. What we're talking about, as Paul talks about our prayer lives, and then he moves into our thought lives that are feeding that prayer life. There's a lot to be considered. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Many of you have memorized these words, but I wanted you to just follow along. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Now I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche, as I learned to pronounce these words, to agree with each other, you two. Agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow. Help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And this is all part of the same thing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm saying to you, I have such good thoughts about you there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all or everyone. The Lord is near. Once again, the fear of the Lord. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so we've been talking about our thinking. And whatever is in this category of these really good things, these amazing things, think on these things. Well, whether you've gotten up on the wrong side of the bed, or somebody tells you you're grumpy, or you're a crank, or you're always critical, or maybe you've just been having some really great days and life has been so good. The reality is we all need to take care of our thought process. We all need to take care of our thought lives. That's why Paul reminds us here in this verse, meditate or think on whatever is lovely. Today we're talking about whatever is lovely. Now I know that if you're a macho guy right now, if you're strong and if you're kind of maybe self-willed and self-made, you might be thinking, that sounds like such a foo-foo-y word. Think about whatever is lovely. Isn't that lovely? Well, it's really a great way to think. You know, it's the word is, it's in its original, is a, once again, it's made up of two words. The first word, as part of this two-word combination, is the word toward. And the second part of the word is love. Toward the kind of love we've heard about eros love, we've heard about agape love, or very, very sacrificial love. And this is that love that is describing a friendship. It's a very working relationship where people really like to be in each other's presence. They like to connect. So think about whatever is moving you toward friendship, toward love, toward beauty, toward that good day where everything is kind of in sync. Just think those thoughts that are bringing back to your memory a happy time, a joyful time, a time full of kind of some blessings. Think about those thoughts that remind you of kind of the wonder of seeing your children grow up, or a reunion with a friend. Take you back to a wonderful day at the beach, or a day in the mountains, or a day out in the desert when it was just like, this is amazing. Here I am in the midst of God's amazing creation. This is really important, even in the context of this of what we read this morning. Paul says to my dear friends there, and he points out these two ladies, probably two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, and he says, now I'm urging you to get along. Word on the street is, or that what I'm getting back from Epaphroditus is that you're not getting along too well. And so I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to the rest of you brothers and sisters in Christ there in Philippi, and we're under the yoke together. So come alongside these people and help them kind of face things. You know, along the way, as you're going to do that, you need to stop and think about some really cool times, some great times together. Some times when you just think about those amazing times when you prayed together. And it was like everybody was in sync. Remember those days. And let that be your goal, to be back to that point in time. Yesterday, I was so blessed. I'm thinking about some times here over the last 2 days. Friday night, we got a call and had a wonderful conversation with somebody from our church. Marilyn and I, we put my phone right between us and the two chairs that we were sitting in. We just put it right there and we chatted. We caught up. We haven't heard this dear friend's voice for quite a few months. And we haven't had a long conversation like this for a long time. It was about, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes. And the first thing that she told us was that she said, what a great day. My sister just came home from the hospital. We just got her home tonight. I'm on my way home as we're speaking from her house. She had a bone marrow transplant, and she's doing well. There's some complications with it, but man, it was such a conversation. After 45 minutes, I was just on cloud nine. The next morning, Saturday morning, we were on, I was on a Zoom meeting. While I'm not really much of a fan of Zoom, I am really a fan of a Zoom prayer meeting. And I was with two of my dear brothers from this congregation. And Juan Carlos Mata, who's one of the leaders in El Calvario, he set it up, and then he said, I'm leaving you right now, and he turned around, and he was going to pray with the guys that were here in the fireside room. And what an amazing, outstanding time. Such just openness and sharing concerns and then bringing them before the Lord. And then the day with family was just this amazing thing. Now listen, folks, a great Friday night and a great Saturday morning prayer time and a great day at the beach with my family. They're all, you know what they are? They're just a moment in time. And we can so easily let that moment in time, I will never be able to repeat. I can't do it. I can't repeat Friday night. I can't repeat Saturday morning. I can't repeat Saturday at the beach. Can't repeat any of these things. I've got pictures from some. I've written down notes on things to pray for, but it's a moment in time. It's a moment in time. A beautiful time. And Paul was saying to Euodia and Syntyche, to their yoke fellow, and to me, and to us, capture those moments in time. Live it, but you'll never be able to repeat it. So live in that moment. Whatever is lovely, engage your brain, engage your mind and your heart, and be there. And Lord, help me make the most of them. You know, the contrast is this, it, once again, is like, who wants to be around somebody that's always critical or always sour, the sourpuss, or always rebuking somebody, always blaming? Rather than people being drawn into that moment, people are repelled by that. So we've been talking about these terms and conditions of whatever is lovely. Let's talk about lovely thoughts that are inspired. And what is it that inspires lovely thoughts? Let me give some, if you're taking some notes, let me give a few. Number one, if we're going to make the most of the moment and have lovely thoughts, probably the most critical thing Jesus laid out before his disciples the night that he was going to the cross when he said to them, abide in me. If you abide in me and I in you, then you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing that will matter and last. Abide in me. And in verse 7 of John chapter 15, he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask in that moment whatever you will, and it will be done for you. What else inspires lovely thoughts? Well, we've been doing it this morning. We've been singing and making melody in our hearts to God. And once again, I appreciate so much the selection of songs that Dan just leads us into. And he started us out in our singing today, singing from Psalm 84. And entering his gates, and if I was going to be any place on earth, it is to be in your presence, Lord. It is to be in your presence. And Psalm 84 has all sorts of memories for me, and as we sang those today, it brought us into that time for me, and I hope for you, of thinking, meditating on some very lovely things in God's presence. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I'd rather be that than in the courts of the wicked, no matter how appealing those might be. The lovely thoughts are also inspired by music that sets our hearts on, as Paul describes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, sets our minds and our hearts on things above. Now, for some of us, that lovely music, that it might be a grand, multiple rank organ, a pipe organ that's just playing and it's reverberating into to the depths of our soul. For some others, that music might be very loud and it making literally our inside being pulsate. And it might be kind of a very upbeat music, or it might be very tranquil music. But these thoughts, these words, and these sounds set our minds on things above and reminds us deep in our soul, because it's music that engages the soul, that God is good and that he's lovely and he is pure and he is right and he is truth. Something else that inspires lovely thoughts is scrolling through memories. Some of those memories are, it might be an album, a picture album. It might be photos on your phone and just flipping through those and then stopping. It might be a picture that someone has sent you of a memory, or that Google actually was inspired to send you from some of the photos you'd taken along the way, and I guess you almost forgot even where they were in your scroll of pictures. But these are things that might put us in that position of having lovely thoughts, thankful thoughts, praiseworthy thoughts, and thoughts that move us. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Lovely thoughts surround a lot of things. They tie into our thoughts about our family and friends. Now, maybe your family always has the perfect dynamics at all times. Everything is just hunky dory, always. But it might be that sometimes you might have been surprised by things going really, really well. When you've come back from a trip, when you've been with family and friends, when you've caught up with people from the past, and it's a wonderful thing to think back on what it was that God did in our lives that brought us along in the journey that He had uniquely for them and for us. Lovely thoughts encompass family and friends. They also encompass our thoughts. They can. Our thoughts about the gifts that we have, that we've been given. Have you been given some gifts that might have surprised you along the way? Have you been surprised at all by some of the gifts that you've been given, the abilities that you've been given by God? Have you been surprised when someone helped you recognize the gifts that God had given you? Are these thoughts that we're talking about, these lovely thoughts, let me just share how this can impact the way our thinking is moving along. Maybe I'm right now just really a little bit full of myself and thankful to God that He's given me the gifts that He's given me. But the gifts He's given you lately have been bothering me. It's just like it seems like we seem to approach things differently. Well, the answer to that, among God's people, I was thinking about, we were listening to a song this morning about the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ your Lord. And I was thinking about churches and different ministries. And we can think of people as, they're different than I am. They're different than we are. Sometimes it's a little bit, I just want to, I feel like I have to have something to say that is intellectually or spiritually or theologically critical of them. Rather than say, Lord, truly lovely thought is that engages me in the direction I believe God wants me to go, is God gives each one of us spiritual gifts. And it's for, not for our own personal amusement and amazement. It is for the body of Christ. And one of the wonderfully humbling things, and this is where these thoughts can take us, is that one of the amazing things is as we tie our thoughts into the differences between God's people, is to understand that God is saying to you and to me, you wouldn't be who you are. You wouldn't be who you are if it weren't for those people that I placed alongside of you. Just this past week, I was contemplating, seriously thinking about some of the people over the years that God has brought alongside of me. Sometimes they were encouraging. Sometimes I was agitated in the midst of those relationships. But even in the midst of those sometimes agitating relationships, God was moving me forward. Lovely thoughts encompass relationships and gifts within the family, within the body of Christ. Lovely thoughts also encompass our grasp of the difference between cultures. And I'll tell you, we say, well, in Southern California, we've pretty well got that one mastered, right? Because there's so many different cultures. But maybe sometimes different cultures, we'd just like to kind of be with our own. Okay? Just for a moment, just be with our own. Now, these are my people. But what a beautiful thing. When we stop and think about all these different cultures in the world, all these different cultures in Southern California, all these different cultures that I rub shoulders with, and I think of all the layers of delight and understanding that God has brought into my life. Now listen, I have to tell you, when we first moved here to Southern California, more than 30 years ago, it was sometimes a little intimidating when people that were helping us set up just what it was to run our house, we were asking over and over again, we were saying, would you repeat that? Would you repeat that? Because they were speaking with a dialect that was really kind of difficult for us. We weren't, our ears and our mindsets weren't tuned to all of the, trying to come to understand each other. But God has added so much to our lives by people that have come from a different culture. And this doesn't just involve, it does not involve just a somebody from a different country than ours. It also involves these different cultures, different age groupings of people throughout our lives. You know, I'm in my 70s now, and 30 years ago, people in their 70s were really old. And this church at that time had a lot of people in their 70s. And it was really a different culture. And when we heard prayer requests, you'd think we were getting, we used to kind of kid about this. So we could call our prayer journal the colon report, because it just seemed like it was one body part after another that we were being asked to pray for. And it was just, man, is everybody just old? Our thoughts, you know, it's like sometimes as you stop and you think and as we have lovely thoughts, we have to be challenged to now see what is so lovely about this young person. Well, I mean, beyond the little ones that are so cute, even though they're a lot of work, but it's each generation along the way that's not ours. We have to, lovely thoughts, see the beauty in each of these. Well, lovely thoughts beyond this, and they encompass so many different things that we think about. Lovely thoughts. And if we find ourselves extremely irritated by something that we're running into, I find myself having to say, so what's the, I'm really irritated by this group of people, this circumstance of life. I'm really irritated about this. So what can I see in the midst of all of this that is in fact lovely and that God has there for my good? Lovely thoughts, when we start to think those thoughts, they guide our prayer life for people that are in a different place and struggling. They engage us in service or acting toward the right way toward people. They prompt us, lovely thoughts, they prompt us to stop and give thanks. They stir inside of us creativity. I mean, literally setting us free to look at life the way God intends us to look at it. Now, I was just listening to someone that I listen to regularly on the radio. And he's on a program that I follow just about every week. And he just authored a book, and that book is short stories. And he said that given the government that he's been in all these years, he has been prevented from publishing, but he's no longer a regular part of that government, so he can now publish. And he's publishing stories that he wrote from the time he was a teenager. And he talked about the freedom that is in writing. Well, when we're thinking lovely thoughts, our minds and the things that are good and beautiful and engaging, when we're suddenly seeing people that, oh, how did I miss that person? How did I miss that quality of life that person is living? How did I miss that challenge that this person is going through? How did I not understand what that person was dealing with in the midst of that struggle? And I didn't seem at all interested in what they were going through. Well, when our eyes are fixed on that which is, by God's standard, lovely, this is for you to see and interact with, it might make its way into what we write, whether it's a short story or a card. But it's translated into what we put to paper and pen. It might be translated in something that we do that's really, we've created something, a painting, or we've created something that we've refinished, or it's something that we've actually created from scratch. When life is good, when we notice it, and we're engaged in creating once again, and creating something that is and will be to somebody else really lovely. Lovely thoughts are nourished by a regular study of God's Word. Please hear this. Lovely thoughts are nourished by a regular study and then meditation in God's Word. Lovely thoughts are nourished by daily engagement with people. And that's many different ways. Some people say, well, I can't really engage with people now. Come on. There are countless ways to engage with people right now. Everywhere from sending text messages and email messages to writing cards and calling people. I spoke with Juan Carlos Mata, who I said set up our Zoom meeting, our Zoom prayer meeting, as he does every week. And he said, Pastor, I've now made you somebody that can set up these kinds of meetings. And I've asked him to help me with this. And he is, in fact, making a way that I might be able to engage you in a time of prayer that goes beyond a simple phone call. And maybe then also help you set up your own small prayer group with somebody else so that you don't have to rush off to a place, and that from where you are on your phone or on your computer, you'll be able to have a really significant time in prayer with somebody else and find that God is helping you engage in a way of praying that it's been a long time, and maybe never, that you've engaged in that kind of thing. Loving thoughts are nourished by stories that encourage our soul. They're encouraged. Loving thoughts are nourished by uncommon acts of kindness. That we've seen a friend or even somebody that we didn't know walk across a space and give something to somebody that you hadn't noticed before. Have you seen people? I don't know, maybe you do this, but it's always inspiring to me as I'm walking into McDonald's to see somebody come out of McDonald's and walk over and hand some food to somebody that maybe I didn't notice before, but they're reaching out, and then they go on about their way. These acts of kindness and they're nourishing, lovely thoughts about God and what he's busy doing. Loving thoughts will change the trajectory of our lives. They really will. They'll change the trajectory of our lives as they move us toward people that we've been too busy to notice. They'll move us toward people that feel powerless, they feel helpless, they feel hopeless. They'll move us to change the trajectory of our lives from "I'm too busy" through "I don't care" to how can I help? How can I be a bridge for you? I have to say that it's so easy. It is so easy in the culture in which we live for me to say, how quickly can I wrap this helping you up and package it and it goes away. It's way too easy. I'm on to something else. But lovely thoughts change the trajectory of our lives. They also put us under the mutual influence of like-minded people who take delight in the Lord. I love being around certain people that always are ready to tell me what God has been teaching them. Seriously. And some of these people stand out. They're not, when they tell me what God has been teaching them, I didn't even have to ask the question. They're eager to share what the journey has been like. It's not what they're sharing is not a matter of somebody saying, "I've really got my act together," but it's one way or the other. They're saying, "You know, I've had an encounter with God, and I've seen this in his word." You see, loving the lovely and thinking about the things that are in fact moving us in the direction of love, the kind of love that Reuben read about. That kind of love, see, the reason why I asked him to read it this today, and I would encourage you once again to slowly and purposefully work your way reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is because when we're around people who love that way, it changes the trajectory of our lives when we're all involved with self. When you read something like, "Love does not seek its own, but it seeks to make a difference in somebody else's life." Two people that are dealing with that and facing that challenge together become an amazing help to each other along the way. I think everybody around me is doing just fine. I know that we're all in need of encounters with God, and we're all in need of having the direction of our life always lifted up to thinking about those things that are lovely, those things that move us in the direction of loving people the way Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13. May our thoughts, in addition to being on that which is true and noble and right and pure, may they also be focused on that which is lovely. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for engaging us by your word. We know, Lord, that you work certain ways in our lives. You are always alert to everything that's going on inside of our minds. You know when we're dealing with pride, you know when we're dealing with a bias toward other people. You know when we're dealing with things that a mindset that's very, very self-oriented, and you knowing us, thank you, Lord, that you invite us to lift our eyes up and see the things that you've created and see the beauty in the lives of people around us that we might normally just see in love and have a good sort of relationship with. And yet sometimes you lift our eyes to see people that are different and from whom we have so much to learn. Thanks, Lord, for the gift of that which is lovely. And I pray that you would teach me and teach us to meditate on that which is lovely. In Jesus' name, amen.